This episode is dedicated to good humans, non-believers, believers, but just ones that want to be open and accepting and kind human beings every day. So grab your favorite drink and get comfortable.
Hey, Susan.
Hey, Noemi.
How are you?
I'm amazing.
Amazing.
Always and forever. No, not always and forever, but mostly.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, that's our phrase. Like, we're like, go be amazing. Go stay amazing. And I find myself when I do my videos, for those of you that want to follow me, Heels in the Courtroom.
Heels in the Courtroom.
Heels in the Courtroom. I actually made a video today. It was on my story.
Oh, yeah.
And I talked about being amazing.
Oh, you did?
I kind of used the word.
I
used the word amazing in there somehow.
I had to redo.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, I'm going to check it out. I had to redo my voicemail because we got new phone service. And I always loved it because I ended it with, like, go be amazing. And so I was just recording it till the name.
Oh, nice.
Again with my. And I was like, oh, let me not forget my go be amazing.
I like that.
You know, so did we tell the people how that started? I just said it to you one day. When you were going to do something. Like, we were at the gym. We were going to the gym at like 5 a.m. or something.
I was only doing that for you.
Yeah. And I was like, go be amazing. And you were like, okay.
I am going to go be amazing.
That's where it went.
And it's, let me tell you, that started like, that literally started a mental like path for me.
Yeah.
Because I am like intentional. And I say to everybody, like, go be amazing.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
It just like rocks. And that's why we're here.
We need a t-shirt that says go be amazing.
I know. We need to do some t-shirts. So
maybe our podcast should be called Go Be Amazing.
I think we played with that idea, but we were like, no, we're just going to end with it. It becomes our like ending.
Okay. So what are we here?
What are we here today? So I was listening to a podcast with Robin Sharma, which I'm not familiar with this person. I wanted to look him up after that, but he wrote this book on 8 Great Wealth.
Well, he wrote lots of books. I don't know him, but he wrote more. You know, I research these things when you send them to me because, you know, I don't lend my ears to everyone.
Yeah. He wrote this new one called Eight Great
Something
Wealth.
Something of Wealth. Yeah.
Yeah. But the wealth is, you know, like, you know, living your best life kind of, right? So one thing he said, and I wanted to look into this more, and I'm going to go back through that podcast because he said a lot of beautiful things. But one of them, he said, you could have dead mentors, right? So who is somebody that has mentored you in your life that has really had an impact on you that you've never met?
I'm going to say Jesus Christ.
Ah!
No, I mean, because...
Yes, okay.
And the
the big one.
No, well, because...
Yeah, no.
The reason is because, and you know this, I like, nobody really impresses me.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, oh wow, I kind of like really like I admire people, right? But I don't get like starstruck or none of that stuff. And the Bible has really been like my guiding source. Like, I run my business on biblical principles. I look at what the Bible says about Jesus' character, and I try to like mimic that. So I will have to take some time to think about if there's someone that I never met. Cause I'm sure, you know, we read books about people in history, that I'm like, oh wow, she did something amazing. And then, you know, you kind of implement some of the things you learn about that person, but I'll have to take some time. And I'm sure there is, it's just, I'll have to take some time.
Okay. So what brought you into, and we never really got into this, what brought you into the word for like following the word of Jesus Christ, doing like that?
I can only think back when I became an attorney and I was working at the Legal Aid Society. And one day I just fell in my spirit. Like, I'm like, you know, I grew up Catholic and I was going to church, and then I was like,
ooh, holding your energy, like we were talking about. Go ahead. Go with your spirit.
Go with my spirit. Well, so.
Yes, I love it.
I mean, I'm just being transparent.
Yes.
So I'm going to church, right? And then I'm sitting there and I have this like rosary in my hand and I'm repeating the same thing over and over, but I found myself kind of like, you know, feeling tired or it to me was like, what am I doing here? I mean, I come here, there's a book already like predestined. I can take this book home and it's going to tell me what the priest is going to talk about for the next year, because it's printed and you just open that book for the month, for that Sunday. Okay. And then you hear the priest read the word.
So you weren't feeling it?
No, I was just, I was questioning, like,
okay,
at that time it was like, what is this? Like, I'm questioning, mm-hmm. right? But I also felt a desire to kind of like know more about God. And then I asked this one lady, her name is Yolanda, and I was like, oh, do you go to a church? I'm looking for a church that's not like a Catholic church, mm-hmm. because, and I didn't know anything about religion. I didn't know there was like Pentecostal. I mean, I heard of Pentecostal, but and Catholic, but I didn't know like Seventh-day Adventist, Baptist. I had no clue.
Wait, so you weren't raised with the church?
No, like I got baptized and okay. I would just go on my own, but my parents weren't like church goers or anything. Okay, it was kind of like everybody in my neighborhood, it's like everybody's Catholic. You just, you know, you go to church for Easter and you go to church when you kind of want to feel that. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm speaking for myself. So then when Yolanda told me, she's like, well, I said, I don't know anything about religion or any other religion. And she said, well, this particular church doesn't have a denomination. It's just the Bible. And I was like, oh, okay. And she gave me the address. It was really far. It was in Manhattan. And the pastors were Black. And it was the first time I saw like a lot of Black people dressed up. Okay.
See, I mean, we love our church.
And then, I was like, okay, this is. Yeah. And the pastor, he was just dressed really nice. And I think they called him the first lady. And I don't know. Because, and again, I don't like to give titles to people, but she was also very nice or whatever. And it was my first experience to just reading the Bible. It wasn't like anybody's opinion. And that just started this trajectory of me just having conversations with God.
Okay.
So it wasn't like I had like something major that happened, but I looked back at my journals. After that happened to me, I said, let me go back in my journals. Mm-hmm. And in all of my journals, it was always me talking to God.
Oh.
So I had no idea that I was doing this. So when I was praying, when I was journaling, because I won't call it prayer, when I was journaling about, you know, making the decision of where I'm going to work after college or wanting to be a lawyer and why I wanted to be a lawyer, it's this conversation with God.
It was always to God.
And I had no idea.
Okay.
And then I was like, okay. And then I just kept going to that church. And my husband was not going to that church because he grew up, I think, Catholic and Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not sure. He was just like, I'm not going to church with you. Like, it just wasn't happening. And then he moved here. He got a promotion. And he said to me, when we move to Georgia, there are a couple of things that I want us to do. And I said, okay. And then he says, number one, we're going to have dinner at a table.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
And I said, how's that working out?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We have lots of tables that I can tell you. But the concept behind this was in the Bronx, when you're raised in these apartments, there's like, and this hardly, nobody really eats at the table. It's like you eat at different times, and he grew up, you know, having dinner at the same time with the family eating together. And I think that's what he meant, like having dinner together. But yeah, we have lots of table, but we don't sit at the table to have dinner.
I had that same idea in my head. And it lasted for quite a bit. But then once the kids got into sports and stuff, it went away.
It's a little
smorgasbord. Yeah.
We do a lot of Chick-fil-A in my house. And then he says, and we're going to church together.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're going to church. He's going to go to church with us. Yeah. But I was like really quiet. And it so happened that his boss at that time was a pastor's kid. And so his boss, his name is Brody, still very good friends of ours. He invited Ruben the first weekend that the girls and I moved, because Ruben was living in Georgia for a year before we finally made the move. The first weekend he invited us, he says, I want to invite Noemi and the girls and you to go to church. And it was the first church we went as a family.
Okay.
And that has been church forever and ever.
Yeah.
Unto the pandemic. My husband had some bad experiences during the pandemic in the political arena. So he sort of stepped away from going to church physically.
Yeah.
I continue to go. I go with the girls. And I don't know, for me, it's just been just developing that relationship with God and everything I do. And I don't know, I think it's hard to explain religion because I think you have to experience it.
Yes.
It can be like, go read the Bible, because the Bible is never going to answer all the questions we have. Like, does God really exist? You know, why is the Old Testament beating people up? Yeah. You know, why are there slaves? Like all these questions that you know, or why were people being killed? Or why is it that God doesn't stop bad things from happening?
Right.
Like, you're not going to get those answers from the Bible. So I always tell people, it's something that you have to experience. Like, I can't.
No, I agree.
You know, like,
yeah, because, you know, I don't feel like you feel about it. So, and we've said we were going to talk about this a little bit, and I guess we're talking about it. And so for me, like, anytime going to church when I was younger, because I grew up with a very, Catholic family around me on both sides, I would go with my grandparents specifically and be like, what is happening? Like, they, I felt like they were so into it. And I always, I was like, I'm gonna come in here and get moved one of these days. And then I'd go in and I'd be like, oh God, like, and then I'm like, is everyone else thinking about something else?
Well, that was, I was doing the same thing.
Yeah. So, and we did the same, similar thing where when we moved to Georgia, we were like, you know, where can you find community? Right.
Right.
And then, I was like, I definitely wasn't going to go to Catholic church because I just didn't love it as a kid. Yeah. And so, I was like, I'm not rolling with that. Right. Plus other stuff about it, beliefs and stuff. So I was like, no, and no one was unwelcoming to me when I went,
right,
but it was just not for me. And so when we came here, we decided to, you know, go to a couple different churches and feel them out because, again, we were all on our own. We didn't have anybody. And mine wasn't the same reason as you. Like, I wanted to get them. Because for me, the Bible is a book that a man wrote. So that's how I feel. Anyways, it's out there. And so it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's very moving. I've read different portions of it. I've never read the whole thing. And I used to read it when I was younger too. Thinking too that it would move me in some sort of direction. Like all of my family that I saw that just like love this religion and ritual so much.
Yeah.
Right? But so when we came here, we went to a church that was in a non-denominational Christian church.
Yeah.
And actually I loved it. I love the community. I loved the music.
The music,
I love the entertainment.
Yeah.
I loved all that. But if they opened up the Bible and started just quoting from the Bible, you lose me.
Right.
And so, but if you use, you know, if you are motivating in your sermon or whatever they call it, and you are quoting things that move me, that's what moved me, like, That's what gets me.
Yeah, gets your attention.
I know it's opposite for you. And so that's what helped. And the church we went to is known as like the church that's for the unchurchable. Like they don't, like me. Like the person who doesn't want to go to church for those same reasons you want to go to church.
Yeah,
yeah. So it worked for a while. And then we moved on this side of town. And they actually opened a branch over here. But it kind of just fell, you know, kind of just fell off like... we tried a church that was over here and it was like, no. But then they opened a branch of our one from where we first lived here. And we went a couple of times, but it was just like, I love this. I wasn't feeling the same sense of community, but I wasn't that new here anymore where I needed that.
Right.
You know? And my kids doing it or whatever. And, you know, they were like, we don't need to go anymore. And I was like, that's fine. But we would, you know, we have, for me, what I say is we can have church here on a Sunday. Like I'll turn on the music. Like, so Easter, you know, was Easter Sunday. We were all meeting to have dinner. But that morning when I'm prepping, I was like, oh, it's Easter Sunday. Let me turn on some good music.
Yeah.
And this was church for us. I listened to some inspirational, godly music because it is Christian music.
Yeah.
And
you like listening to those.
That was enough for me. That moves me enough that I don't need to, you know, go beyond that for me.
Right.
Which is great. Excuse me. So
I think, you know, I think everybody just has a you know, it's everybody's walk is different.
And it should be a personal relationship what moves you. Like I'm a spiritual person and I've even had someone tell me like, I can't believe, you know, and you were there, it was your house where they were like, but you encompass everything that is godly. And I'm like, for me, I get what you're saying because that's what they know. Like, this is God. And I go, but I'm a spirit. it's for me, it's being a good human. Like right. I encompass what being a good human is.
Right.
So, but.
And there's more. And I think that's where people are mistaken, that mm-hmm. they feel that because you're a good human and a good person, like that's sufficient.
They have to be religious.
Right.
Too.
And yeah. you have non-religious, you non like yourself, people that necessarily don't believe that are, because it's just, it's kind of like just human nature, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's common sense for most of us that, you know, you're kind to other people, right? Right. And that has nothing
treat
to do.
Treat others as you want to be treated.
Right.
That is like a number one.
And that has nothing to do with religion. Yeah. That has nothing to do with yeah. faith. And I think that's what people kind of get.
Because we've seen where people who are godly mm-hmm. are horrible
yes.
to other humans.
Yes.
On the preface that they are right and only right. are they right.
Right. Right. And I think for me, you know what, one thing is church for me, it's not like I don't have an expectation. Like for you, you were looking for community or you were looking for, you know, if they have, you know, they preach a certain way. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to sound like, because I am not an expert in this by no means, but
it's your experience.
Right. Like I just don't put that responsibility on other people or like if, you know, if I go to church, I don't go to church to like get motivated, right? Like yeah. I go to church because I feel that sometimes it's good to be with other people that are worshiping along. You know, maybe you yeah. can meet someone that's sitting next to you, or you can hear the pastor say something that really resonates with yes. you. That sometimes maybe I like can't get,
yeah.
you know, like I can't get on my own during my Bible study. So, and I think that it's important for us to fellowship, and yeah. I'm an introvert, so I have to push myself to kind of do that, right? But I'm not expecting like for the pastor to deliver this like message that I'm gonna be like, oh, that was the best, you know, like because I feel like
it's gonna upend your whole life,
right? Like right, I yeah. feel like we have a responsibility, like ourselves, like I have a responsibility to fact check the pastor. Mm. If he says something, I'm not gonna criticize the pastor, but I'm not gonna take it for like, oh, this is the word of God, because we're all humans. He's just a man. Yeah. And I think that's where society makes, that's where we get it wrong, that we have these high levels of expectations for someone that is doing a job.
Yeah.
And yes, we should hold people accountable, right?
Yeah.
Because if you take an oath, just like as an attorney, just like a police officer, like anything, if you take an oath to do this kind of job, we should hold you to a certain standard. You should be honest. You should be, you know,
oh, yeah, have like a doctor, do no harm.
Do right? no harm, right? But sometimes you may do something that is not aligned with what you were called to do. Mm. But we are not forgiving of that, right? We're not forgiven when a pastor, you know, misquotes the Bible or, you know, or is preaching, you know, or making more money. We think like every pastor should be poor.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's a job just like any other job, right? And most pastors, they make money on the side, not just from what the church pays them. So I don't know.
But there are things where you see a whole neighborhood that's depleted and this church is massive and you're like, it doesn't add up, right?
Yes.
Those kind of things. Right?
Yes. Yes. That does exist.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I think, you know, it's just a relationship with God. But I do think I have to be intentional. Like reading the word for me changes me.
Yeah.
I mean, when I tell you, and I've had experience where God has answered prayers, like I have felt God hug me in my sleep.
Yeah.
I don't believe in coincidence. I have specific prayers. And I mean, I remember a time when my dad was in his deathbed and not many people knew about this. And somehow I felt like I need to go to the front of the church and I'm praying. And a lady that I've never seen before came and gave me a message that is exactly what I was praying for.
Yeah.
Right. So when things like that happen, I'm like, this is not coincidence. I don't know this lady. Like nobody knows about this but me. Like I just had a conversation with Jesus. Or like when my dad was taking his last breath, to be in a space where you see your dad, like just take, like literally mm-hmm. like taking that last breath, like the colors coming out of his skin, his hair's turning different, and to receive such a peace, like I felt like God, like literally in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I've had experience with God that it's just hard to explain. That's why I feel like people have to put in their work and not just rely on what other people say. But you have to be open to receiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say that I think that I don't label it God, because too, I also think like there's multiple, you know, there's many gods for different people. Right. But I do pray every day when I hear the garage open and my daughters leave, I say a prayer that's like, keep them safe. It's automatic, right? Me and my friend, since we were younger and we were running the streets, we would do a little like ritual.
A little prayer.
A little ritual. I still do this thing when I'm heading on like long trips or even going to the airport in Atlanta traffic. But but it's something you can feel. But I think that goes too with like understanding your relationship with whatever you are, you know, governing as like this energy, like yours is, it's God for you. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And for me, because I feel there's so many unanswered questions on in all of that religion, right, for me, I can't just put a blanket label on it, but I do know that there's something far greater than me.
Right.
And that it has hugged me. Mm-hmm. It has comforted me. It has had me even go like, oh, I just called you. And oh, I'm coming. And be like, that's exactly what I needed. I did. How did you know? You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing that happened, you know, like even our friend posted in the message today that someone she lost. Right. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I said, I had the strongest urge yesterday to text you, to just check on you. And wow. Even last night I came home from dinner with my girlfriend and I was like, past her house, and I go, let me call her. And then I was like, oh, it's 10 o'clock.
Yeah, because I think you texted me like 10:20 something.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, and I've done, you know, where you and I connecting, where I'm like, hey, and you're like, I was just thinking, and I was like, I literally was just, or someone calls me, and I go, I literally was just thinking about you. You just called me. Like that kind of stuff, you just, there's no explanation for it, right?
Right.
Like, and it's beautiful anyway, but I think we have to have our own relationships with this. And I didn't expect to go.
Well, I think
with this, but I should have known that would have been your answer. And then here we go.
Well, I mean, really. No, but I think this is a testament. And again, I'm not, you know, I'm really just listening to you. For anyone that listens to this podcast and it's like, why is Noemi not correcting Susan or saying this or pushing you, whatever, I'm being intentional about this, just kind of speaking about my experience. And the reason is because this shows the beauty of just being who we are and accepting others and allowing you to have your own walk. Because if in fact one day before we're called, you know, to go to heaven, you have a change of heart or whatever, that has to come from you.
Right.
It cannot be like, well, I love Noemi and she would love for me, you know, to go to church or to read the Bible. Like,
and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Right. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, what I did say one time that I am willing, you know, I forgot what the word it was that I used, that I said, I am willing to die for you if it was promised that you were going to heaven. Mm. Right? Because that's how much I believe it and I want it for you and everybody else because I've seen what it's done for me.
Right.
But that's just my desire, right? Like I meant it not like I'm going to take a bullet
that's
or whatever.
Your fate, that's your belief. Like right. I often and you saying that, I appreciate that. And I often look at you and I also often look at other people that I know are super faithful and godly. Mm-hmm. And I go, I would love to have that unabided, unquestionable, nothing attached to it kind of faith in that.
Yeah.
But I just don't.
Listen.
I just don't.
Yeah.
And so,
we have to live with that. Like, but also for me, you know, I just always been like, there's certain things I don't question. Like, I think when we were talking about one of my daughters and you were like, so why did they, whatever? And I was like, Susan, yo no pregunto. I didn't ask. So we are very different in that sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. To me, it's like, I think this podcast is a testament of just really being who you are. And because we cannot play God. Like, I cannot play God in your life. All I can be is just be myself.
Yeah.
I don't preach to you. I'm never like, hey, nothing. I'm like, I love this girl.
And you, like, 'cause you also know, too, like, I think for me, like, the thing that's been the turnoff in the past is that people are like, it's got to be this way. It's got to be that way.
Right.
And maybe it's the controlling.
It's the birth order.
First born of me. But I'm like, that's a no for me, ma'am.
Right. I don't know. I think you're a great human. Obviously, that's why you're my best friend. And I love you. And
I think for me, if you lead in wanting just to be a good human, mm-hmm. and it comes from something. There's something far greater than us. I wholeheartedly believe that there's something that, but you know, scientists would say science can tell us, but I can't tell you. And sometimes those little things, I can't put science to it. I can't put science mm-hmm. to why I saw or heard something or thought of something before it happened. Like, right. I can't put science to that.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, you know, you do believe in this greater being. So for sure. At least, you know, you're in tune into that. I think, you know, the question is, you know, will you stay in that place for the rest of your life? Or will there come a point that, you know, you will either surrender to some things or you will do your own research and kind of, you know, match up? Because that's the other thing, you know, it's easy for people to come and tell you, right? Like, I can tell you about Jesus all day long.
Right.
But, you know, I also have to respect where you're at and your point of view. And, you know, that's your ultimately it's your responsibility.
Yeah, and like, I've done my homework. It still leads me to the same place so far. And it's, you know, I'm not getting any younger. But we'll see if, you know.
Let's say, I don't know. But
we'll see if the world changes for me at some point. But
probably. I think I'm not a good example.
So. No, you're a great example.
In the sense, like, you know, I don't fight you on these.
Here's the thing. I think you were right when you said it. We shouldn't be fighting you. I should be able to feel. This is my road. This is my journey. Right. I should be able to feel the way I feel. Mm-hmm. I'm not, I'm also, because like the opposite where you're thinking, oh, anyone who's listening, who's super uber religious and da-da-da, they might be saying like, why aren't you saying this to Susan?
Am right.
But anyone who, for me, who's super like on the other side, like an atheist or whatever, they might be going, why aren't you beating her up? Like,
oh, right, right. Yeah.
Why is this? Like, there's so,
that's true. That's
there's
true.
So many opposites. To
that's
it.
So true. So I don't think about that.
We have to, the beauty of this is that we can exist mm-hmm. like this. We do not have to be the same. Ultimately, if what you believe makes you a better person tomorrow than you are today, and makes you want to do good in the world, those are the people I rock with, and that's how I rock.
Right.
So that's all that should matter. If what I'm doing injures you,
then that's different,
wrong.
Right?
And the same thing for your religion.
Yeah.
If you're using your religion as a weapon against me,
right,
then there's no winning.
Right, which sometimes that can also happen.
For sure, either way. Like, you know, people can use...
Sadly.
People can use their hatred of religion as a weapon. And I don't have hatred for it.
Right.
That's the thing, because I think, you know, to love something, you have to hate something. To hate something, you have
to. Yeah.
But I don't feel that way.
Right.
I appreciate that mm-hmm. people can have this, like I said, faith that mm-hmm. in some that I don't necessarily have faith in. But I also appreciate when people can just be open to the fact that I'm not led by the same exact thing that they are. And they're not led by the same exact thing I am, but we're both led in the same direction.
Right. Well, I think for me, it's just my love for you is bigger than, you know, me trying to prove a point or anything. Yeah. Right. And, you know, ultimately I don't want to play God. All I can do is what's in my power, which is to keep you in my prayers at all times mm-hmm. and then love on you because, like you said, if you're not doing something that's hurting somebody else, you know, and you know, we're also very quick to have opinions and I don't know. I just don't live in that space. Yeah. I feel, you know, I go back to my beliefs. Jesus, you know, sat at the table with the most unwanted and the people that were not religious, right? Because the religious people were the ones against him.
Right.
So if I follow that model, I'm not, you know, he led by example. It wasn't. Yeah. I don't know.
He was washing feet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not
yeah.
having people wash his feet.
Yeah. And he wasn't like sitting in this, you know, Yeah. Driving a Bentley or whatever. I don't know. There was no Bentleys. There was no Bentleys back there, but he was doing a lot of walking.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. So I love it. No, yeah. I'm glad. So if we wrap this back up, my person that I most admire that I've never met, I mean, I guess two people can like, but I think like somebody that's really moved you, really made you a difference in your life. Like I love writing. I love beautiful writing. So like Maya Angelou is like,
oh yes, yes.
Like the bomb. It made me think, it's so funny because I watched a video of her yesterday that came up that somebody was like, if you had a daughter, what would you say to her? And that just the way she's just in this interview, mm-hmm. and she's just like, ultimately, like, I just want her to be happy and a good human. But the way she said it, I'm gonna have to find it and then I'll post it to her thing. It was like, who, you are a wordsmith. Like, you can't, like, and then for her, the way she said it, and also too, like, her delivery, her dialect, her what, like, yeah. just the way her voice, just for her to, it was a masterpiece in itself.
But you know, now that you say that, before I was reading the Bible, I was reading her book.
Yeah.
There's one book, and I'm going to have to go through her collection. Maybe you and I should take a trip to Barnes & Noble's because I have to see the cover.
Okay.
There was one book that she wrote that was like my motivational go-to. It was like what was feeding my soul at the time.
Yeah.
And this is like pre being a lawyer. Like this is pre me, because I really, really turned into, I always had a relationship with Christ, but you know, the desire to know more about him started mm-hmm. when I became an attorney. So I was reading her book.
Yeah.
Her book was my,
because she was very faithful.
But I didn't even know that. I was just reading it because of what it was doing for me. And also I majored in Black studies in college.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you pick the woman that it's the one book I was reading before I was reading the Bible. Look at that. Boom.
Look at that.
Look full circle moment right here.
And the other person which is, maybe there's something for me with that because they're both very with Martin Luther King Jr. Thing that like,
you know that I haven't really read any of his like book. Maybe we should.
Yeah.
We should read something that he wrote. We should make that.
We should read it together.
Yeah. We should make that a goal for this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay. Well, whether you are, you know,
I think we should
faithful or me, like me on the sides learning.
Get yourself a good best friend.
Whatever you're driven by, whatever moves you, if it's your religion, if it's not religion, if it's, you know, if it's just, you know.
It's their journey.
Whatever. It's your journey. And until then.
Go.
Be
amazing.